This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
And we are live here on Pet Life Radio's Ask the Best with Dr. Jeff. Here every Sunday morning at 9 in the West and also live on Instagram and saying hello to, we have a request already. So we have to make sure that that is legit. Because sometimes people hit the wrong button. They want to just join on the show and they hit request. And when I accept, they're not there. So if this is real, if you really want to request to be on the show, then please, yeah, just give me a thumbs up or something or tell me, yep, this is real. And we will have you come on. So anyway, as you know the drill, here for you, here for your pets. Anything you want to talk about, now is the time to ask. I had a very crazy, every time I go away, and I was at a conference last week, and it happens all the time. Whenever I'm away and I come back, people think, oh, God, it's great. You had a couple of days off. We're good for you. I said, no, it's not good for me. Because what happens is that I have the same number of people that are going to come to see me, but instead of putting into 5 days, it's now down to 3 days. And trust me, do I know it? And my clients know it. I pity them because they wait. And look, I'm thrilled that those who come to see me are okay with waiting. They're not okay with it. But they deal with it. But, you know, I always say that I don't think that people would be waiting an hour, whatever it is, to see me if I was that bad. So the good news is that trust factor is there. Look, it makes me great and I'm very happy because I love seeing them. I love seeing their pets. And interesting, what I see all the time is that I think, I don't know if this is just me or I'm sure they could be like this with other veterinarians also, but the pets really like coming in. I have people tell me as soon as they pull into the parking lot, the dogs are getting excited. And the cats that typically are really tough. I had a lady came in, it was 2 weeks ago with a cat. She warned me that you cannot clip this cat's toenails. The groomers can't do it. She can't do it at home. And this sweet-looking, calm cat turns into a monster. So anyway, I said, okay, look, we'll try it. We'll give it a go. So, you know, I picked this kitty up in my arms and I'm sitting and I'm kind of petting him and I'm off the table. You know, this, sometimes that table is the clue that says, okay, this is not going to be good. So they already know that. So I get the cat away from the table in my arms. And as I'm just firstly, as I'm talking to the owner, I'm kind of like touching his feet and, you know, touching his toes a little bit. And then I pull out the clipper. I don't make a big deal about it. And I start just trimming his nails. This cat, I had someone take a video because when we also had to do some other things with him, we had to clean his ears. So I had him in the back. And so when I started clipping the toenails, I know the owner would probably not believe that we were able to do this with incident without struggling. It was just there. So, of course, I went ahead and I pulled out my clippers and I said to one of my technicians to go ahead and let's, go ahead and I want to basically do this where I could show the owner how sweet, and I mean sweet, this cat was. And sure enough, she couldn't believe it. So I think, I always say this, I think animals can read us better than we can read them. So it's amazing that we get this all the time. All right, question coming in from Shannon Corsi. Hi, I was fostering a senior with pneumonia, enlarged heart. Well, that doesn't sound good already. And on pleural effusion, had him on doxyclamox, Baytril, seemed to be improving. He goes to the vet and they put him down. Whoa, well, that's weird. Do they put him down? Do they talk to you about it? Okay, there are a number of ways to, when I face with an animal like this, those of us, or I would say us, because it's not me, those veterinarians are testing the test results. Testing the x-rays. They're making decisions based on that, which, you know, as far as guiding us, what might be the next move, what to talk to the owner about, as far as what to expect. But I am not going to put a cat down, right? Or a dog, anything that if they're doing okay, right there, when you say, had him on doxy, clab, Baytril, lots of different antibiotics, seem to be improving. He goes to the vet and they put him down. Well, if he was improving, maybe you're onto something. Of course, it's a bad prognosis. When you have this pneumonia, enlarged heart, pleural effusion, there is failure going on. There's no doubt about it. But I would make a decision to euthanize based on those tests and based on the diagnosis. Clinically, look and see how the pet is doing. If the pet is miserable and not doing well, which it wouldn't surprise me with all those things, and he's suffering, or he's not eating, or he's no longer living. He's existing, but he's not really living. And they make a decision, a tough decision to say goodbye. Then, yeah, I'm supportive of that. But if the pet is doing a little better and not struggling, is eating, So I don't know more of the facts of the case, but I would not make a decision of, I mean, that's a no turn back decision. So, you know, with the effusion, I don't know if they had him on some Lasix also, some medication to get the effusion. Did they drain the chest? I've had animals coming in that we had to drain the abdomen or drain the chest once every few weeks. But once the cat was or the pet was drained, they did so much better. So if it's okay with an owner, you say, look, we may have to give a little sedation. The first time I would do is let's try it. It's worth a try. If everything else is good, the pet's still eating and seems to be okay, and there is effusion, which is just fluid buildup, pleural effusion is in the chest, okay? And there's what's called pericardial effusion, where that's a sac around the heart, okay? And then you can have effusion in the abdomen. All right, that's called ascites. So we don't know always what the causes are. In the case of the bad heart, I would say that's probably contributing to it. And then maybe the other organs. I mean, I don't know what the blood tests look like, but I don't like to make a decision just based on all these tests. I kind of want to make how the pet is feeling, how the pet is doing. And if they're still hanging in there and with an attempt to try to make things better, you start a treatment and they are starting to improve, then I would have gone in and said, look, we seem like we're doing a little better. Let's give it another week or two. Let's see what happens. So a bit surprised. So he was drowning in fluids. Okay, well, if that's the case, but then again, he couldn't have been, when you say improving, was his breathing getting better? I mean, there are other medications that one can do to decrease the fluid buildup. And so if he was wheezing and struggling to breathe, then 100% it's time, because that's a terrible way to go. But if he was improving, how are we rating this quote unquote improvement? Was he eating better? Was he breathing better? Was he a little more animated? If that was going on, then I would have, you know, possibly waited a little bit or maybe added something to absorb some of the fluids in the chest, a little Lasix or something. So there may have been things to do, but if he was truly drowning in his own fluids in the chest, then that means he probably was suffering. Okay. Hey, Steph, how are you? Thursday, back to Mexico. We're going to Puerto Vallarta this time. So just say hi to George and Walter. Okay, I'm so broken to see him doing better. He was eating and walking. That's a tough, you know, these are the ones without me seeing the x-rays, seeing the cat, I don't know, or the pet. Do you ever say it was a cat or a dog or this? Just a senior, whatever it was, if he was doing a little better, did they talk to you first? Did you tell them that he was seemed to be doing better? He was eating and walking. That's good. And again, if as long as they're not suffering, if he was struggling to breathe, like, then it's time. Because that's a terrible, think about someone who's claustrophobic. That's the feeling that animals get when they can't breathe. They start freaking out. And then they try to breathe even harder because they think the problem is they're just not getting enough oxygen. It had nothing to do with how hard they're breathing. It has to do with the ability to absorb the oxygen because the lungs aren't working well, period. So that's a tough call. All right. Teddy has a large black dark spot on his underside near his what? Well, Karen, if it's raised, okay, and you can feel it and it's itchy and it's crusty, then something we need to see. If it's just flat and even, it could be just pigment. What you could do is, you and myself, is take a picture and let me see what the picture looks like. Let me see what it looks like. I want to know is, and this is what, one way you can tell. Don't always look. Sometimes feel it. If you're petting him and you're not looking at it and you don't feel the area that is dark, meaning it's black spot, that means it's not raised. It's not sticking three-dimensionally. It's flush with the skin, and it's not crusty, and it's not itchy, it's just there, then I think just a pigment change. If it is itchy, if it is raised, meaning you can actually three-dimensionally feel it, it's not the same level with the rest of the skin, or it's crusty or oozing or has scabs on it, whatever, then it's something we need to see. So send me a picture. Okay. All right. Hey, Jill, how are you? No bleeding, no dirt. So again, take a picture. What you can do is, as I said, feel it. If you feel it, then it's something we should see. If you don't even feel it, you just see it, but you're not feeling it, it doesn't feel any different than the skin around it, then chances are not a big deal. Janice, hello. Yeah, if he was struggling to breathe, then I think, I mean, the fact that they did it without letting you know this is what they needed to do, that concerns me a lot of it. So what causes diabetes for cats and what are the signs and what to avoid? So diabetes. So generally in cats, they get type 2 diabetes, which is the same thing as adult onset diabetes, usually associated with obesity, as it is in cats. So dogs, regardless of age, they usually get type 1. diabetes, which is like the equivalent of our juvenile diabetes, which means insulin-dependent diabetes. They need insulin. Their islet cells, called islets of Langerhans cells of the pancreas, are no longer functioning, secreting their own insulin. Therefore, we have to give insulin externally. That's type one. Type two may be non-insulin dependent, meaning your kind of adjustments can be made in diet, maybe giving insulin a little bit at first, and then you can use a supplement that might help destroy some of the excess glucose that is in the blood, but it's not always insulin dependent. But in cats, that's what they usually get and is often associated with obesity. So if you have a cat like one of mine that is overweight, you need to do your best to try to reduce that caloric load, and so ultimately to help prevent this type 2 diabetes. But other than that, the signs are typically a lot of water drinking, a lot of peeing, and when you sometimes a lot of eating, which for a cat that's overweight is not such a good thing. You take them into the vet for a blood test, and that blood sugar is very, very high. That urine sugar, very high. And that's a clue that we might have a diabetic. And of course, we treat them with insulin the same way. But if it is a cat, there might be ways to ease off the insulin, modify diet, get them to lose weight, and you might be able to treat these without shots daily. Okay. My little girl has a sensitive ear. When I take her to the vet and have a check, there's no infection. But when you touch the ear, sometimes she'll yell, but not always. Okay, so this could be an allergy. So if the ear flap, called a pinna, seems to be very red and inflamed, that might be a clue. And then other thing you have to know is that sometimes you can clean an ear and it looks, you're not getting debris out, but there might be something like a polyp or something going on down in the ear. Sometimes we have to sedate these animals, go down with the scope, and take really a thorough inspection of the entire canal all the way down to the tympanum, which is the eardrum, and make sure that, first of all, the tympanum is intact. Sometimes it's not, and that can cause some itching. Make sure there is not a polyp or a growth, or sometimes there could be like a piece of something like a foreign body stuck in that ear, and cleaning won't get it out. You got to actually grab it with something called an alligator forceps and actually remove it. So that might be going on. So if we have persistent problem, the ears appear to be clean. When you clean them, there's nothing more coming out. The next step is to do, under sedation, a thorough inspection of the ear canal. Okay. They didn't even call you. Shannon, that is, I'm a little bit shocked. That is very unusual. It's one thing, they may not have made the wrong decision based on what you're telling me, struggling to breathe, et cetera. But to make a drastic move like that without your consent or knowledge, that does bother me a little bit because, for example, as a pet parent, if I was faced with that and the solution was, and the right solution was to euthanize, say goodbye, I'd want to be there. I'd want to get a phone call, say, you know what, it's time. Would you like to be with us when we do it? I would imagine, of course. So that is troublesome to me. It really is. It's very disappointing. Okay. Next thing you know, discussing ashes. That's crazy. Again, it may not have been the wrong decision based on the breathing and what they found on the x-rays, lungs full of fluid. I get it, but I would imagine you'd probably want to be there. I would have wanted to be there. I would have wanted to hold the pet in my arms and say goodbye. It just, that to me is concerning. All right. Tammy, how are you? Say hi to the fam. God, I have cousins calling from Texas. That's great. Okay, let's see. Todd, how are you? Okay, yeah, send me, Karen, thank you so much. Send me pictures. Hello, Todd. Okay. But if this is some of the ways I have to get in touch with my family, my cousins, is have them join me on a Sunday morning. Hey, that's great. That's great. Santa, Joey, and the kids. All right. Are canned sardines good for dogs? The only thing is, most of these canned fish are really good for them, is that they usually are in olive oil. They just may be a little too fatty, not the fish itself. It is what that, you know, those canned sardines, I know they're putting them in those really cool little things. You got to, you know, take the key and open them up that way. But am I aging myself now? I probably am. But anyway, I'm not worried about the sardine. I'm worried about if there's too much oil. So if you want to use them, like, it's like, even when I open a can of tuna, I still rinse it. Even though it's packed in water, I still rinse it like crazy. So if you do that, then it would be fine. All right. So let us take a quick break here. It is at the time of the show, 9:20, actually. When we come back, there are two things I want to talk about, and you may need to remind me because, trust me, even as a commercial, but one is pet insurance, and one is indoor versus outdoor lifestyle. Don't go away. We'll be back after these short messages.
Take a bite out of your competition. advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
So we're back. We're back here live with Dr. Jeff. And we are just talking about the one thing I wanted to bring up before the break about indoor-outdoor lifestyle. And I want to just, you know, set some ground rules for me. And, you know, hopefully you'll be able to appreciate these. So when it comes to dogs, mostly are indoor-outdoor, but they're not roaming streets. When you see a dog running the street, right away you think, oh my God, he must have gotten loose. Let me try to catch him, see if he has the ID. Cats running in the neighborhood, you don't think twice. Because a lot of people have cats that are indoor, outdoor, and they're roaming around, and that's normal. So, but my concern is in a municipality like LA, where I am, you have dogs, cars, coyotes, feline aides. There are a lot of dangers out there. And if you have these cats that are in and out, then you have to vaccinate them, or at least I would recommend, against rabies and leukemia. And I'm concerned about these vaccines because I just did surgery on a cat that had feline vaccine-induced sarcoma. That is a tumor. And normally, the treatment of choice, that's why we now give vaccines to cats only in the hind thighs, is that if they should get this ugly sarcoma, you can save their lives by amputating the leg, okay? And that's, I mean, think about it, that's pretty dramatic and drastic to have to do, but that will save their lives. Well, we used to give shots like on the trunk, like we do with dogs all the time, then you can't remove it. So I had one, it was relatively new. I did try to remove it. I know I didn't get it all. I think I got pretty most of it. It just said that the tumors came down to the edge of what I took. So they're obviously, they have to tell me that most likely there might be some on the other side of what I removed. But this cat is doing great. I had to cut into muscle. I was very concerned. Did I ruin some muscle? I tried to save as much as I could. The owner said the cat's walking, the cat's jumping again. And I felt it. Yesterday, we took the stitches out. You feel nothing. No growth. So I'm hoping I was one of the lucky ones that will at least get this cat. I was also an older cat. So if I get it to live an extra year, year and a half, we're good without having to amputate. So that was a plus. But a cat gets hit by a car or attacked by a coyote. I'm not worried about the coyote giving you rabies. It's just the coyote bite that's going to probably take a cat. So I really think that my recommendation is if you're living in a city like LA. Now, look, one of my cats, as he was found by my daughter, when she was still living at home. Now she's my youngest. She's 33 already with two kids of her own. But this cat came up to her. She was here. We've had the cat for a long time, obviously. And so he was an outdoor cat. And we pet him a little bit. He was really sweet. And hey, Keith, really sweet cat. And that was it. Cat took off. A week later, the cat's back. And this time my daughter gives it some food. Brings it in the house. I tested I do a microchip check, no microchip, no ID on it. We talked to the neighborhoods, put something out. There was no way. And this cat really, first of all, he's the greatest cat. So he was an outdoor cat or indoor outdoor, whatever, but he was certainly outdoors. So we were still very careful because if we had a front door open or a window open, he would make a beeline and he would get out. Fortunately, he would come back. He knew where the food was coming from. Now, after all these years, I mean, I can have the door wide open. And he'll go to the threshold to take a look. Nothing out there that beats this. And he's right back in. So yes, you can make these cats indoor cats. You have to train them to a litter box, which we did, no problem. And plus he's got, at the time he had four other friends. Now we got three. And one of them and he are like Mutt and Jeff. They are inseparable. And that is such a gorgeous, beautiful thing to see when your own cats have such a bond with each other that they don't even need us. I mean, they love it, and he loves being petted, and he's a cuddler. Oh, it's the best. But if you lived like in a farm or a ranch, or you had a barn cat, whatever, then I would definitely say, yes, it's probably okay to to have an indoor outdoor cat as long as the grounds are protected. Now, if you know you're in some place when you see coyotes or bobcats at night, then bring them inside. Make sure they're inside. I wouldn't trust anything. Or if you have a barn, close the barn, keep them inside the barn. But it is possible. But I know that you're going to need to give the rabies and the leukemia vaccine. So make sure if you're going to give those vaccines or any vaccine, even the FERC PPNE, which is a basic cat upper respiratory cat fever vaccine, you want to give them in the thigh and only in the thigh. Do not let a veterinarian give a vaccine anywhere but the thigh, because that is just a recipe for potential disaster. So hang on a second. You're peeing a lot. The vet told me to keep it a diet, but I'm concerned about this kidney test. Fine. He was diagnosed before with high creatinine. Well, I mean, certainly if he's got, you know, a creatinine and BUN, that is a kidney problem. So it could be that water intake and the urinating is just because of kidney disease. Absolutely. I want to know what the BUN was. Okay. That's important. And what the urine or blood glucose. If the urine is negative for glucose and the blood is normal glucose, then it's not diabetes. It's not diabetes. Then you just got to go with probably kidney disease and or early kidney failure, get them on a kidney diet. Again, there's really not a lot you can do. Sub-Q fluids on a regular basis, and you just got to run with it. Older cats, let's put it this way. The truth is that they say close to, as a cat ages, once it hits past 15 or 16, like basically 100% are going to die of kidney failure. Obviously, nothing's ever 100%, but they've already passed, they'll live past the age of getting cancer or organ failure or other dysfunction. It's now up to the kidneys. And just unfortunately, cats weren't built to have kidneys last more than, you know, typically 20, 21, 22 years. Now, my oldest cat I ever had as a patient was 22. I've heard about a 26, and there was some story, I think this past year, of a cat that made it to 36. I don't know. Anything's possible. So one thing I've learned to say, never impossible, but not normal. So anyway, so that's how I feel about the indoor only. And I prefer in a city, if you can, try to get your cats to be indoor only. They will live longer. Now, obviously, again, that's not a guarantee, because you can have another disease that happens. That can happen to any cat. But generally, as a rule of thumb, the outdoor cats do not live as long in a metropolitan area as the indoor cats because of all those dangers. The dogs, cars, coyotes, leukemia, feline AIDS, et cetera, et cetera. Now, next, insurance. This topic deserves more of a time than I'm going to give it right now, but let's say this. Here's my tagline. You're going to need it the most when you don't have it, okay? That's Murphy's Law. But now let's talk about insurance. I've been dealing with insurance companies I've been practicing over 40 years. When I first started, they were not a big deal. I'd say at least 30 years. And I get the same complaints from owners. And that is, you got to be really careful, because they make sure they let you know they do not cover diseases that were existing diseases, pre-existing conditions, as they call it. So, that's no big deal. I'll tell you why it's a big deal, okay? I have a puppy that has oral papillomas. Those are oral warts, okay? And very common in puppies. Is it really a disease? No. They can get it at daycare. There's nothing. It's a virus. And they get through the virus and you're done. Now, let's say 8 years later, 9 years later, you make a claim for a skin tumor, a tumor. And they go, oh, no. Yeah, back when he's a puppy, he had oral papillomas. Those are warts. That's a skin, but we won't cover any skin growths. Really? Really? Is that how disgusting you guys are as insurance companies? Let me give you a statistic. When I started practicing, there were like two insurance companies. Now they're like 10, and yet only 2 to 3% of pet parents have insurance for their pets. So what does it tell you? Would these new companies be coming on board if those 2, 3, now 10 insurance companies weren't making boatloads of money? Not only that, they're taking your, say, $100 a month. They're taking your 100 and his 100 and her 100 and that 100. Before you know it, they got 100 people, $100 a month, $10,000. They're investing that money. They're investing your money, making it a worthwhile investment, because they're using other people's money as well at the same time. So what's happening? Okay. What's happening is they are making money on that money. So then when you make a claim and you make one of the lucky ones that need it and they pay it, you're covered. But they weren't using your money. They were using the money they made from your money and everybody else's money. Think of it as a Las Vegas casino. Okay. Now, I don't know how many of you are gamblers out there, but if you look at the casino, the opulence, the people walking around, the temperature, everything about it, do you think most people who go in there play are winning or losing? Think about it. Losing. The house wins. Now, could you have gone to Vegas and had a great, great weekend and lucky, hit all the numbers, you came home with $5,000? Yeah, it'll happen. Is it going to happen every time? Probably not. So that is insurance. It is a gamble. you might get lucky right here. Kate McCauley says, I have insurance and would never stop. My aging dog costs at least $3,000 or more a year. Insurance is financially saving, which is great. You're going to get stories like that, 100%. But most of the people that I talk to, and now their next pet, they said, no, we're not doing insurance. They looked for every reason in the book not to pay out, whether it's pre-existing, whether we don't cover it, we don't cover this. Oh, our clause didn't cover that. But I think you need something. So here is, for me, here is the solution. And first of all, read all the insurance things really carefully. What are they going to cover? What are they not going to cover? And know in advance, because if your pet had any of those things that they're not going to cover because of pre-existing, you need to know that going into it. So that's important. And then, so there is my only solution, because I think you need something, is what we call self-insuring. I'm sure you've heard of something called HSA, a health savings account. So what you can do is you can take $100 a month, whatever it is you're going to pay for insurance, you open up an account in Bowser's name, and every single month, automatically, you have no choice, work it out with your bank. It's an automatic deposit into an interest-bearing savings account. And you put that money away every single month religiously. You don't use it for routine, don't use it for the dental, don't use it for the vaccination. It is for that condition, that disease, that hit by car, that dog fight, when you have something that is really going to require some major bucks, hospitalization, you know, tumor removal, whatever it is. And if you just let it ride, after the first year, you got $1,200. Second year, you got $2,400 plus little interest. Third, you got $3,700. So you just let it ride. And by the time your dog is 6 or 7 or 8 years of age, you're going to have, you know, $8,000 put away. And if you wanted to invest that, if something comes along and you got a great investment, invest it and do the same thing insurance companies do. You'll be using some of your money made from the investment to help pay off that big bill. But the bottom line is, it's still your money. Insurance companies are banking that you're not going to use it. They're not going to let you use it all. And at the end of the day, they make the money, not you. But don't do nothing. I'll agree, if you are not disciplined enough to be able to do that, then pay the insurance, whatever it is, but start young. Always know that when the pet gets older and now you want to start insurance, those premiums are good. I've had clients tell me that their premiums now are $250 a month. That is insane. So anyway, what I would do, so again, her first dog had cancer and she spent all her savings on it. And first of all, it depends which company you're using, what you're going to be paying for. If you're going to get insurance, don't do routine care. Don't do routine care. That will definitely cost you more than you are putting, cost you more than they're going to cover, because they won't cover hardly anything. So they cover annual vaccines, maybe a spay neuter, maybe one dentistry, whatever it is, you're going to end up, it's going to cost you more to have it than it is that you're going to get back from them if you use it or try to use it. So, again, start young. The premiums get really, really high if you started for the first time. So that's my take. I'm just sharing with you what most of my clients that I've had insurance, they're either looking for another company, all right, or they are trying to finagle, start with a new vet, no mention nothing about ever having had prior existing condition. I mean, the fact that you have to do that, it tells you right there, they do not want to pay out. They want to take your money every month, but it's hard as hell to get the money out of them. So, you know, again, success story like here, absolutely. For, you know, Kate McCauley, absolutely. Then if you had luck with it, go for it. But I'm just sharing with you what most of my clients that have had insurance, they will not renew. And when I mentioned about the HSA, the health savings account, they think that it's a great solution. It may not cover as much, but it's going to cover something. But most importantly, if you don't have a claim at all, think how much you spent on insurance at, say, $100 a month, or if you have multiple pets, whatever it is. So something to think about, look into it. Now also, research your insurance companies. Kate, which insurance company, you said you've had others, which was the one that you found is the most amenable and easy to work with? So if you can answer that while I share. Yes, and it says, and hear from Janice, that even if you start younger, premiums go up significantly as the pet gets older. So, you know, again, it's not quite the same. And you have to go through hoops for them to search old records. Let me give you a perfect example. Just to show you how insane this is, that I even had to get involved. Our senior panel, when you have dogs that are senior, based on the lab, they call it a senior wellness. Well, this dog was a very sick dog, and we had to do the senior panel called SA705, full bloods and a urine analysis. They were declined. Why? Well, because they ran a wellness panel. You idiot! idiots. That wasn't wellness. They call it, the lab, Antech calls it a senior wellness profile. It's the profile we do for older dogs, period. Now I have to go, I have to write letters, I have to talk to the moron veterinarian at the insurance company or whoever's making these decisions. And that's the problem. You're dealing with people that are so poorly educated. They're told what they do. They're like robots. And they go, oh, you said wellness, no good. Had nothing to do. The dog was not well. The profile named by the own laboratory that we use calls it a senior wellness profile. So it is just crazy. And this is what you're going to be dealing with. So Casey going with Pets Best, look into them. But there are so, there's Lemonade, there's 24-hour Pet Watch, there's, oh God, there's so many now, Trupanion. So all these are out there. Do your homework, look into it. But I would be very, very, very careful because Keith got on. Keith is the one I'm working with right now who denied him because it said senior wellness panel. They didn't read the records. They do not, they want you to have the records, but they don't read them to see that this was a sick dog that came in and we had to do blood tests. And if we just called it blood test, they were, well, we called it the lab. It's SA705 of senior wellness. So anyway, so here's one of the ones that has good experience. And there are some out there. Yes, the price went up, but he's 17, has tons of issues, and still makes financial sense. Absolutely. So as long as you're getting things before, as long as you have the insurance, before any of these things, of these tons of issues may pop up, then you're okay. But if one of those issues popped up before you got the insurance, oh my God, you're toast. Even if you had a benign growth on the skin, and now you have hemangiosarcoma, which is a malignant tumor inside the body, they're going to say, oh no, had tumor. We don't do tumors. You already had a tumor before. Oh really? Is that how cheap you guys are? So anyway, do your homework. Guess you're going to get me. I'll tell you, as you can tell, you think I'm passionate about this? I think so. So no, it is really frustrating. As a veterinarian, and these people are complaining that they have insurance and they're not paying anything, or they're saying that it was because of a pre-existing. No, it's not. A little skin tumor is not a wart, a mole, a skin tag. No, that's not pre-existing for hemangiosarcoma or lymphoma down the road. So, you know, go figure. But ask these questions. If you're thinking about it, you want to give them scenarios and say, is this going to be a problem? And if they say yes, pass. Do not even waste your money. Because chances are, when you think of the major things that dogs are going to be getting as they get older, it's the vomiting and diarrhea issues, some of the skin issues, skin allergies, and it's a lot of cancers, a lot of tumors. So keep that in mind. Next week, I'll be here live, not here, I'll be live from Puerto Vallarta and using up my weeks that I have to use up. So anyway, I'm almost done. But I won't be traveling that much after this is done. But anyway, taking advantage of it. So we'll be in hopefully some sunshine in Mexico, having a blast. And yes, I will probably be working a little bit on my tan. But anyway, we'll see you next week, but live from Puerto Vallarta. All right, have a great week, everybody, and we'll see you next week.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.